Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. Today, we're going to be talking about how to make biblically informed decisions. So grab that cup of coffee, pull up, and join us. Hey, everybody, welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. As I said, today we're going to be talking about how to make biblically informed decisions. This is a question from one of our members. Before we do that, Adam's going to introduce our coffee of the week.
All right. We have here 7 Weeks Coffee. And 7 Weeks Coffee, it's a values-based business. And they get their name because at 7 weeks of development, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. For the first time, you hear the baby's heartbeat. So this is a pro-coffee, pro-life company. And on here, they have 3 P's. They have promote godly values, provide excellent coffee, and protect every beating heart. So this is my favorite coffee right off the bat. I like the packaging. I like the name. I like what they're all about. This particular coffee is the faith blend. It is a dark roast, dark chocolate, smooth, low acid coffee. So excited to dig into this one.
Cheers, hello. Mates. Let's go.
Cheers.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
I knew it was going to be my favorite.
All right. This week's question is from Hannah, and she writes, I think a podcast explaining a framework on how to make biblically informed decisions would be helpful. I love the podcast, the very topics, and hearing the stance of our leaders, but I think giving a framework for how our leadership forms their basis behind more nuanced ethical and moral decisions would help equip the congregation to be more discerning when they are making decisions in their everyday life. I feel like the Sunday sermons help us show how and what we can be pulling out of Scripture as we study, but I also feel the podcast could be a tool to help equip people to use the Bible to help them make decisions that honor God, love others, and give them confidence in making those decisions. There is always a place for wise counsel and the input of the elders, but we all need to be equipped with the tools to make these decisions on our own. Thank you for all the work and love that goes into the podcast. Thank you for listening. Yeah. All right, so here we're looking for a framework on making biblically informed decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I mean, I think with wisdom, asking this question is shows great wisdom because we can be tempted sometimes to just be hasty in our decision making. We can take matters into our own hands and not thoroughly take our decisions before the Lord, asking Him for His guidance, for His wisdom. And so I think it's a great question. And I think thinking through that framework, I know that we talked a little bit about the framework that we prior to, we were talking about framework. Can you provide that framework?
Yeah. So the way I have approached this in my own life is I think of 3 things. There was 3 scriptures that came to mind. First is God Himself. So God, Scripture, and the church is, mm-hmm. is my framework. The first scripture on God is simply Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight. And so there's an acknowledgement of God. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We're wanting to honor Him and glorify Him with the decisions we make. And keeping Him first, acknowledging Him in all of our ways, it says, mm-hmm. He'll direct our paths, that He'll yeah. make those paths straight. And so if we're looking for guidance, let's first acknowledge that we want to please God as we live out our days. And the second, too, really build off of that. And so how does God speak to us? Primarily through mm-hmm. the Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think of Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love that. So again, we're looking for a straight path, acknowledging the Lord in all our ways, and he lights that path through his word. He gives us his word, which gives us all of the revelation we need, right, for to live out our faith well in this world.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, the church. I just think of the Proverb 11:14. It says, where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah.
And so Scripture tells us to admonish one another, right? And so, I think the impetus of this question is correct. Like, but I don't think we have to make all the decisions on our own, right? And so there is wisdom in seeking counsel, especially in more nuanced and difficult things, that it's good to discuss it with other believers, to seek out the wisdom of others as well. So that's sort of the framework: acknowledging God in all our ways, looking to Scripture, and then seeking counsel, wise counsel from others. Within that, you know, there's certainly some things that we can discuss. And I know, Kevin, you said particularly your approach when it comes to a decision, a given topic, you had sort of a framework within Scripture to think about decision making.
Right. Before I mention that, let me just make note that, you know, in the Proverbs passage you mentioned of acknowledge God, you know, when we think about the word acknowledge today, it's like, you know, nodding your head and saying, yep, there's God, there's his word. But the Hebrew really means the idea of dependence upon God. And, you know, when, as a parent, you know, we all have children and they come to that point of, I can do it myself. And as earthly parents, we kind of like that when they can do things on their own. But spiritually, with God as our Father, their spiritual maturity is coming to the recognition, I can't do it by myself. Mm-hmm. I need God's help in this, in even the smallest of decisions. So with that, as we look at this framework, I see three categories. First, what is biblical? Mm-hmm. And what is biblical is what the Bible tells us to do.
Yeah.
This is God's command. This is God's instructions for us. That's biblical. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be able to find those commandments. Secondly, is what's unbiblical. What's unbiblical is what the Bible tells us, don't do this, don't go there, you know, may it never be kind of things. And so both of those come strictly from the Word of God. The third category is what I like to call abiblical. And what we mean by that is it's not necessarily contained in Scripture. The Bible doesn't condone it, nor does the Bible condemn it. Some like to call these gray areas. I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of that term or not. But, you know, what do we do in situations where we don't have a specific instruction from the Lord? We don't have a command to do this. We don't have a condemnation of stay away from this. How do we handle those things? And I think it's important for us to recognize that we don't have to take those biblical situations and mold them and squeeze them to make them biblical. It's okay for things to be biblical. You know, God did not give us an instruction book. He gave us a love letter to get to know him better and to know what attitudes, what actions, what character traits are pleasing before him.
Yeah, so in those instances then, let's say you have a decision to make and there's not a clear scripture that's pointing you that this is right or wrong, and it's sort of amoral in that sense. It's not necessarily bad to do this. It's not necessarily good to do this. And so then at that point, like where, how do you go about making such a decision as that? I think there's some important questions that you can ask, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, in acknowledging God, is, you know, how do I best glorify God in this situation?
Right.
And then how do I, is this, is this decision going to help me love others yeah. better?
Right.
And so you're thinking about God, you're thinking about mm-hmm. the greatest commandments in yeah. a general sense, right?
Right.
Loving
right.
God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, mm-hmm. love your neighbor as yourself, mm-hmm. and helping that start to shape how you're thinking about it. You're looking then for scriptural principles,
right.
perhaps,
right.
not necessarily direct commands, but okay, how would scripture and the attitudes and the character of God and what pleases God, how would that help me think about this situation in a way that I can make this decision that would be pleasing to him?
Yeah. Right. You know, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And so, you know, that's some of the questions we ask. Okay, God doesn't say yes or no, but is this beneficial to me? Is it beneficial to others? Is it enslaving? Is it dominating? Is it something that's going to put me in a situation that maybe won't be bad right now, but in the long run can have some very negative consequences.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's a good thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times the decisions that we're thinking about, bigger decisions of like, you know, here's a job opportunity. Should I take this job? Should I stay with the one I have? Should I, you know, here's an opportunity. Should we buy a home here to move? There's big decisions like that we may not see through scripture exactly what we're supposed to do, but there's principles to think about, right? There's questions to ask. If I'm going to do this here, thinking about how will this help my relationship with the Lord? Are there implications to my spiritual life? And maybe the spiritual life of my family? Are there things to consider, you know, for, you know, because I think a lot of times we might say, okay, well, bottom line for a job, then, well, make a little more money, you know, but, you know, what are the opportunities, for maybe your witness? Is this going to be helpful, in the people that you already have relationships with? What about those? There's a lot of things I think to really consider, and I think seeking the Lord, as he opens and closes doors, you know, and just being patient sometimes to wait on him, making sure that he is confirming things before we just jump on something without giving it the proper amount of time to be able to make sure that the Lord really is in a decision that we're going to make.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point with how does it affect other people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and then again in chapter 10, as he's talking about the specific situation there is eating meat sacrificed to an idol, you know, and dealing with our weaker brothers and sisters. And weaker doesn't mean that they're less mature, because depending upon the situation, we're all weak in some of them. And by weak, what we mean is our automatic thinking is, well, if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And not because scripture says it's wrong,
right.
Just because this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And I can't do this, and therefore nobody else is allowed to do this. Now, we might call that legalism, but that's what comes down to being the weaker brother. And Paul says that we are to be careful not to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble, to fall into sin, to think that something is good or bad because it's our opinion rather than because it comes from scripture.
Yeah. And he admonishes us. He says to those who are strong to bear with the weak, right? Mm-hmm. To bear with even the failings of the weak. And so there is a consideration of other people that is driving decisions and behaviors even to some degree. You mentioned something about seeking wisdom.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important mm-hmm. when it comes to this, and particularly that first part of the framework of being dependent on God. Yeah. and acknowledging God in all our ways. Like he gives us the injunction. I know you got it pulled up there with James to seek wisdom, right? You want to read that?
James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And we think of Solomon, you know, and then how it was honoring to God that Solomon, as a young boy, recognized that he wasn't capable. He was going to rely on God. He needed the wisdom of God to fulfill. And this should be all of us, right? We are not. The heart of man is prone to do things out of our own flesh, what feels right in the moment, right? But but seeking God and His wisdom is something that we should do daily.
Right.
Even the foolishness of Solomon is a lesson to be learned. Mm-hmm. Right? It's when he stopped acknowledging God in all of his ways, but instead looked to the other nations or was solely not, you know, following the clear instructions of Scripture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to be praying daily, as you said, for wisdom. And, you know, not every day is going to face us with a critical decision that's life or death or huge, you know, important. But we're faced with decisions every day that need wisdom. And, you know, part of my daily prayer is that the Lord give me that wisdom for whatever might come up, whether I need to make a decision that is long and thought through, or if I need to be making a decision that's, you know, thinking on my feet and going from there. And in my position, there are times I don't necessarily have the opportunity to say, well, give me a week to think and pray about that. Sure. It's a decision that has to be made. And that's why, you know, whether you call it being prayed up, you know, just believing that God is going to supply that wisdom on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think all three of these that I first threw out there at the beginning, God, Scripture, Church, right, you know, almost requires regular interaction. Well, it does, right? And so if we have regular interaction in our relationship with the Lord, we're continually, you know, praying without ceasing. We're coming before Him, seeking His wisdom, seeking to live a life that acknowledges Him in all of our ways. Second, Scripture, like, we have to be in the Word. If you want to make biblically informed decisions, you have to be familiar with the Bible. This isn't just to open it up and point to a page. There's a reason I read through the Bible every year and have for 20 years. It's because I want to be so saturated with it that it would just ooze out of you, right? And that's kind of the goal, is like to hide His Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. You know, treasure this, that it would guide me, that it would be a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, because you want it, you know, right at your disposal, right? And let the Spirit kind of recall those things that you've learned and studied and read over the years.
Right.
And so I think that that's an important thing, to have regular interaction with the Word, because if you want to think scripturally, which is how God transforms us, by the renewing of our minds, and that comes through having the mind of Christ,
right,
which comes through reading the Word, and Jesus is the Word become flesh, right? And so, there's regular interaction with God in prayer, regular interaction with Scripture, and regular interaction with church, right? Community groups. There's so much value in sitting in that room week in and week out. My particular community group, we always share a meal together. We'll play a little game together or something just to have a little fun. We'll once we open the Bible and we start having discussion, and then we're bouncing off of one another, thinking about things, wrestling with the text of Scripture, helping each other understand it. And then at the end, we're praying for one another. And a lot of that involves situations that we may need some guidance on. And so, like, the regular interaction with the church, you have those relationships and you begin to trust others and their input and value their input. That doesn't mean you're always looking to someone else to tell you what to do all the time. But when you're seeking the wisdom of God, you're in Scripture, and you have believers that you know love the Lord and want the best for you and want you to live a life that honors the Lord. I think that is the ideal sort of way to think about how I'm going to live a life pleasing to God, how I'm going to make biblically informed decisions.
And let me just touch on something that, or focus on something that you touched on, and that is that, you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we've learned from the Word of God.
Right.
Now, the word remind means we've already read it, we've already know it. He doesn't just pop things into our head that we've never heard before. But what a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful gift from the Spirit to remind us of what's in God's Word. And let me just say this, because, you know, Steve mentioned that he reads through the Bible every year, and that's commendable, and I think that's great. I'll be honest with you, I don't do that. And you say, well, why not? I tend to focus on one, two, maybe at the most, three verses a day, and really pour into that. Now, does it take me long to get through the Word of God? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure you've made it through yet. No, I'm just kidding.
I have.
It's a snail's
pace. It is a snail's pace, but you know, there's no one way to really dig into the Word.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's a good point. I don't mean to set that up as like everybody needs to do that in the way that I do it every year. But I do think regular interaction with the Word,
absolutely,
that may be a chunk, you know, with our family, we read a chapter, and I just think, you know, 5 days a week, we read a chapter, five chapters a week, mm-hmm, with the kids and stuff. And that's valuable. You know, it's the familiarity with it and the words of Scripture that the Spirit can use to remind us in our time of need. And I think, like, man, when, you know, when Jesus tells the disciples not to worry about what they'll say, and it's because they'll have the Spirit, that the Spirit will give you the words. And I think when the more Scripture we have in our heart treasured there, like it just becomes easier to talk about our faith, and it becomes easier for the Lord to use that to help inform our decision-making.
Right.
And there's confidence in that, you know, then we're able to make a decision confidently, you know, knowing, you know, that the Spirit has been leading and he's brought this to mind. He's brought this verse to mind. And yeah, I think there's great confidence in that. And there's great confidence, you mentioned community groups and other believers and just the resources that are available for us, and the prayers of others, you know, in community groups when, you know, it's like, okay, we share something, you know, we're able to all of us then pray for that person to have wisdom and to know how to handle a certain situation.
Yeah, another aspect of this is regarding Scripture is not just reading it for familiarity, but actually knowing how to exegete Scripture.
Right.
And she references that here, you know, that we model that by expositional preaching in the church. So when we as a church open up a text of Scripture, we're going to read it, and we're going to go through it, and we're going to think through the implications of it. We're going to look at the theological implications. We're going to look at the practical implications. By the way we teach the Scriptures, Lord willing, we are setting a good example and modeling for our church. So when they are reading Scripture, they're also thinking about it in those ways, thinking critically about it in terms of, like, what does this mean in its context? What does this mean to them, you know, the original hearers of this? Is this still applicable today? Is what kind of principles am I drawing from this? You know, there's just so many questions that you can ask to help you better understand a passage of Scripture.
Yes.
And so modeling that in preaching, I like that she pointed that out. And so I think she's saying that that's good, but as individuals, we also need to be able to read the Bible and be able to understand it.
Yes.
And to seek it, to seek understanding with it. Yeah.
And learning those principles of hermeneutics, like you said, Bible study methods are so important.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Faith Bible College, you know, to me, that's one of the most important classes that we have, teaching students how to look at the Scripture and observe it, interpret it, and then apply it to their lives. And so important that we even have two classes on that, hermeneutics and Bible study methods, and then advanced Bible study methods that goes even deeper into some of that. So, yeah, we need to learn how to feast upon the Word ourselves. And, you know, I can tell you, having been a pastor for full-time pastor for so many years, you know, in that situation, and you guys are both aware of this, your wives tend to get sucked into different things. And, you know, that was true with my wife, of having to be back with the children, and she loved it and she does a great job with it. But I got to tell you, I was so thankful that, you know, she had gone to Bible college and she had learned how to feed upon God's word for herself, mm-hmm. and didn't have to be in the service to grow from the word of God. And that, I know that's been a blessing to her, and it's been a blessing to me in saying, okay, she can go out and miss this service because I know she's still learning on her own, mm-hmm. you know.
Anything else you guys want to add? Rodney, you back here? You got anything for us?
Oh, I'm back here.
All right, fellas. Well, I'll say one thank you to Hannah for submitting this. I think it's a great question. The impetus here and the concern is discernment, raising the level of discernment for people. And man, what a great topic to think through. How can I make more biblically informed decisions in my life?
Right.
Like, I wish more Christians were thinking like this and asking this kind of question. It's great stuff.
Mm, right. Absolutely.
Yep. We appreciate the question. And thanks, fellas, for helping us walk through that. Thank you, guys, if you've made it this far in the podcast and or on YouTube. We would encourage you, if you're not subscribed to our channel, whatever you're listening on, to go ahead and subscribe, leave a review, and leave a comment, like the video. Whatever the way for you to interact with it, we would love for you to have some interaction with us online or through the podcast platforms. God bless y'all. Have a great day and peace out.